But rather than mums, even worse mums, we're going to begin with dads. There's a quiet revolution going on in the households of Australia, and it's keeping the passion alive. Over the past few months, the search has been on for Australia's most mentally sexy dad, a competition we covered on Life Matters in June. We were overwhelmed with callers from all over the country telling us about their mentally sexy credentials. Since then, it's gone absolutely gangbusters. The judges have selected the top five, and you're going to meet them today. And you'll be able to vote for your favourite mentally sexy dad in the Life Matters Listener's Choice Award. You can do this at the website, which of course is abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. The man behind it all is Clint Gregan, father of three boys and stay-at-home dad who has a blog called Reservoir Dad. He kicked off the whole thing and he joins me now. Hi, Clint.
How you going, Richard?
You've really unleashed something here. How did the entries go?
Yeah, they went really well. We've had over 50 entries, 55, I think, and we had about 70, over 70 contestants send in their mentally sexy spiel, but a few of them didn't follow up with their photos and complete the entry, so it's been really crazy successful.
Yeah, and also with us is Damon Young, the philosopher and father of two. Hi, Damon.
Good morning.
You've, as a dad yourself, you've been following the competition. How do you read the interest?
Look, I think by a very careful process of elimination, I figured out that the reason for its success is not the photo of me in my underpants.
No.
I think it's about celebration, a celebration of the family, of the many different ways to cultivate human flourishing. You know, rather than just following the herd, these are families and dads who've decided that the traditional ways of doing things don't always work. So they've sort of taken the bull by the horns and changed their circumstances. I really think that people want to celebrate that.
People seem to latch on to the idea. Can you sum up what mentally sexy means?
Absolutely. To me, mentally sexy is broadening our sense of what's virtuous and what's attractive in a man. So it retains all the traditional stuff that we usually think about when we think about masculinity, whether it's physical tasks or certain bravado or an interest in cars and football and so on. But I mean, those are just the cliches. But these are men who are bigger than that. They're happy to change the nappies, to clean the toilet, to cook the meals. Not because these are some kind of feminine chores, but because this is what it is to be a good man. So it's broadening the sense of what masculinity means, not just accepting the cliches, but trying to be a good man with a good relationship.
All right. Well, let's we'll come back later to Clint Gregan and Damon Young. But let's meet the finalists now. First to Ballarat to talk to Tim Payton and his wife, Beck. They have two children, five-year-old Sarah and Hannah, who's a toddler. Hi, Beck.
Hello.
You nominated Tim. What makes him mentally sexy?
Oh, well, I had a look at the criteria, and it wasn't just what Tim does, it's who he is. Tim
yes.
is just, he does everything. We're part of a team, basically. There's things that need to be done to keep the family running, and we have a few extra challenges in that Sarah is actually quite profoundly disabled, and he has just stepped up 150 billion percent, and he's completely involved as much as he's able, because he does work full-time as well.
Right. Tim, tell me about the kids.
Oh, g'day, Richard.
G'day.
The kids are, well, all three of my girls, including Beck, are the main focus of my life. That's what I do. Sarah is, well, she has some extra challenges, as Beck mentioned. She doesn't walk, doesn't talk, she's in a wheelchair, and takes a whole lot of work. And
she has something called, is it PSI?
It's called PKS.
I beg your pardon.
Pallister-Killian syndrome. It's a unusual chromosomal thing which affects, there's diagnosed about 300 in the world at the moment, believe.
Gosh, that's incredibly rare.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that happens right out of the blue, and it happened out of the blue to us, so that's our lot, that's what we deal with. And one of the decisions we made early on was, rather than say, why us, it's really a matter of why not us. If it has to happen to someone, then we're probably best equipped to be able to cope with what Sarah needs and provide it to her.
Mm. What extra does she need from you that, say, your other daughter doesn't?
She can't tell us what she needs and wants. That's the main thing. If she is unhappy or upset, all she can do is cry.
Mm.
And there are times when she just screams for hours at a time, despite our best efforts to make it better for her. Other than that, she's bottle and spoon fed. We're down to 3 bottles a day, which we need to hold her in our arms for, and what about 4 meals plus snacks, which is spoon fed to her in the wheelchair. So that's a big chunk of committed parenting time. You can't just give her a box of sultanas and say, go and sit down and eat them. So it is really a full-time job just dealing with Sarah's feeding and in-house therapy. And on top of that, there is sort of continuous streams of doctors and other kinds of appointments, as well as all the paperwork and other administrative stuff that Beck has to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So that's the full-time job that is raising Sarah, and then having a toddler on the side as well as that is as to the entertainment.
Yes, clearly does. Well, Beck, I mean, I think the split up rate among couples with a very disabled child, something like 80%.
It's very high, yes.
Oh, I mean, but from what I understand, from almost the moment she was born, Tim really stepped up.
Oh, even before it. when I was pregnant with Sarah, Tim had decided that since he wasn't going to be able to breastfeed, he couldn't deal with what goes into the baby, he'd deal with what came out. So he did all the research into cloth nappies. I think he was probably the only bloke on the Nappy Chino forum on the web. So he got all that sorted out. And then, of course, when Sarah came along, we were lucky enough to be in a hospital. Well, we actually did plan to be in a hospital that allowed for dads to stay over.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sarah was 6 hours old, the paediatrician came in and sort of said that things were not quite as they should be. And Tim stayed every night with me in the hospital. It was a tricky time. Sarah had a cleft palate, so I had to learn to express.
Mm-hmm.
And he was incredibly supportive. I managed to express for 9 months for Sarah, pumping 6 times a day. And I don't think I could have done that without Tim's just amazing support. He did all the night feeds.
Wow.
He fed Sarah, and we'd both get up together, and I'd feed the electric baby, and he would feed Sarah.
Do you get any time together?
Yeah, we do.
Just the two of you, I mean?
We make sure of it. Last night we actually went out for our anniversary, so we do have some people. We're very lucky to have supportive grandparents. So Tim's mum came and got the girls to bed for us last night. We got out for tea. We source respite. We have had help from Interchange. That's fallen through lately, but Interchange was wonderful.
Mm.
Very Special Kids also provide a bit of respite. But, we make sure we get some time together. It's just so important.
And Tim,
evenings are our time as well. Once the girls are in bed, then that's where we can spend time together.
Indeed. It doesn't mean being mentally sexy that you're less interested in manly pursuits. I understand you like your power tools and time in the shed.
I've got a good big shed, and it's pretty well stocked. That's right.
All right. Well, look, thank you very much for joining me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Tim and Beck Payton, and you can read Tim's entry and see a photo of him on the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. Don't vote yet, because we have to meet the next 4 contestants for Australia's Most Mentally Sexy Dad. With me is the man who came up with this idea, Clint Gregan, a Reservoir Dad and competition organiser. Beck nominated her husband, Clint. Has that been the pattern?
Early on, it was. There were a lot of dads nominating themselves, and then when there was a bit of media interest, they turned around and more wives and partners started nominating. So probably the last couple of months, it's been mostly women nominating their partners, but you know, with the odd scattering of men nominating themselves. But early on, it was mostly men.
Mm. On Life Matters today, we are looking at the Mentally Sexy Dad finalists. This is a competition started by Clint Gregan, which we have embraced here on Life Matters. In fact, there's going to be a separate award for the Life Matters listener choice, and you can hear all about that who wins the awards next Thursday, next week. But let's meet now contestant two. Jack Ellis joins us from his home office in Melbourne, where he's a part-time architect and full-time dad of two girls under five. G'day, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really well. How do you share the load with your partner?
Well, both of us work part-time, I have... I look after the girls when I'm not working. When I am working, I disappear into the shed and I shut the door and I stick my fingers in my ear and I hide away. But the rest of the time, I think we share pretty well. I think we realise that, you know, there's no such thing as men's work or women's work. They're just work, and you're either doing your share of it or you're not.
In your entry, you wrote this: face fact, every time you lie in bed pretending not to hear a crying child, a female libido fairy dies. And you can't bring her back by tapping together your red dancing shoes and saying, I believe in fairies. I know. I've tried.
Well, I think most people who've got kids have played baby chicken before.
Yes.
And that's when you're lying there in bed and there's a screaming baby going absolutely monkey poo in the next room. And you're both lying there and no one dares move because you know you're both pretending to be asleep.
That's it. You're trying to control your breathing and you know your wife's trying to do the same
that's
thing.
That's right. And the first one to move loses and you have to get up and pat the baby on the bum for 45 minutes. And, you know, I think that's... we've all done it, but I think you have to be careful. It's a Pyrrhic victory. Really, if you're going to do that all the time and basically expect that the woman you've professed undying love for the rest of your life is going to get up and do the heavy nighttime lifting for you all the time, then I think you'll find that's going to turn around and bite you fairly soon.
And actually, you've said, you know, in effect, embrace sleep deprivation. It's a sign of the right stuff.
Well, yes. It's funny that you look at parenthood and you think, okay, well, there's sleep deprivation, there's a whole lot of ironing, a whole lot of, you know, cleaning toilets, there's a bunch of marching up and down carrying heavy objects. Yeah, that's not effeminate. That sounds like morning time at Puckapunyal.
Yes. The philosopher Damon Young, who's on the show earlier, said enjoy cleaning the toilets. He actually had those three words together, which
yes.
I don't remember ever doing. I mean, I have certainly cleaned toilets. I want to make that clear, but I don't remember ever really enjoying it. But
I think that's a step further than I can manage as well.
Can I ask, do you come from a line of mentally sexy men?
Oh, look, I think I come from a line of men who are of their time.
Yes. But weren't you talking? You were talking to your grandfather about this?
Well, it's funny. I mean, my grandfather's 95 years old, and I guess that makes him, you know, the member of what we sometimes hear called the Great Generation. You know, the generation who went through the Great Depression and the Second World War, and who are all about rolling up your sleeves. And when work has to be done, you do it, and you don't complain about it. But he looked at me with my girls, and he said, "I feel jealous of what you've got. I feel jealous of the contact and the involvement and that direct one-on-one that you have with your girls. Because for me, in parenthood, I was barreled out of the room all the time.
Yes,
there would always be a squad of women directing me out the door and saying, go off and do something else. You know, this is women's work, back off." And he said that he, looking at the involvement that men have now, he feels that he really missed a chance and that he wishes that he could have what I've been able to have.
I reckon he's completely got a point. I think it's changed just between my dad and me, actually, enormously, and for the better. Look, thanks very much for joining us today.
No, thank you.
That's Jack Ellis. Jack Ellis is one of the five finalists. If you've just joined us, the first part of this show is all about the mentally sexy dad competition, and the judges have chosen five finalists. Jack's one of them, and you can find out a lot more about Jack by going to the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Don't vote yet. We've still got to meet three more, or hear about three more of the finalists. Amy Lee nominated her husband, Andrew Hands, and she's with us now from Brisbane. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm really well. How did you get your normally pretty modest bloke to be part of this?
Well, it was kind of funny. I did it behind his back, really.
Oh, right, so deception. There's a long history of that in relationships, obviously.
Well, I didn't really think that it would go this far. I just sort of thought, oh, there's a meat tray available and as a prize. And I said, honey, there's a meat tray. And he said, oh, great. And he's like, okay, let's do it. No worries. And I was like, I've already done it.
So that, he's in it for the meat tray, essentially.
Oh, I think so. I think that's a big draw card for him. He's a very big meat eater. He loves to have a good steak.
Yeah. I have to say, though, I have won meat trays in the past and been extremely disappointed in them, so I hope it's a very good meat tray. You've got a real modern family at your place, kids ranging in age from 17 to 6 months old.
Yes, well, the six-month-old is now one, so he was 6 months when we entered the competition.
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, but still 17 down to one, yes.
Right, so are they all your kids and some of them Andrew's as well, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, three are from a previous relationship from my side, and the younger two are Andrew and I's.
Right, so what does Andrew do that's mentally sexy?
Oh, what doesn't he do? He's amazing. He's just, he does so much for me around, you know, just not around the house, but he just takes a load off when he comes home from work. He takes a load off me when, you know, the kids are, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and everybody's going nuts for food and you know, bath time and all that sort of thing. And he'll just go, oh, honey, you go sit down, I'll take over. And it's amazing. So, yeah, he's just all around awesome. I love him.
Where do you think his mentally sexy attitude comes from?
I think it comes from a combination of his mum, and he definitely has a fantastic mum who raised him really well on her own. He also had two sisters, younger and older, that he was sort of dead smack in the middle and sort of needed to be the man of the house. But he also, you know, had a great role model in his, like your previous caller, his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
His grandfather's also about, I think he's 94, 95 now, and he took care of his wife for many years while she was sick and before she passed away. And Andrew grew up watching, you know, a man from that generation just taking care of a family and always with a smile on his face. And, you know, he's just a great role model too. So I think he sort of comes from a little bit of a line of men that aren't scared to, you know, jump in and help. And actually, I think he feels more of a man that he can do that.
Mm. Well, actually, Amy Lee's modest husband, Andrew, has just phoned in. Hi, Andrew. Hello, Andrew. Do we have?
She's given me a bit of a rap, hasn't she?
She has. is she that nice to you all the time?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that's very sensible, Andrew. Good answer. what's a typical day for a mentally sexy bloke like you?
I don't know, but for me, a typical day is, like everyone, get up around 6:30, trottle off to work, do what you can during the day, come home, walk in the door, and if Amy's not going out to work, it's great, she's at home, but usually I do the dinner thing.
You do the dinner thing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's kind of. Sorry,
I just said he cooks.
Okay. And then what? I hope you. Do you do the dishes thing after that, or?
Yes.
Do you do anything, Amy? I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean.
Yes, I do. I'm right. At home all day with all of the kids.
Oh, right.
Kids.
No, Amy does plenty. She does a lot. She also works part-time and does, you know, housework and washing during the day. And the problem is, you know, the cost of living these days, you know, Amy works a few nights a week, so quite literally, you know, some days I'll be walking in the door as she's, you know, kissing the kids goodbye and walking out the door. So
yeah.
It's kind of like the routine is, you know, night times, it's just routine. You know, I get in and I get dinner organised. whether Amy's home or not. And if she is home, she's catching up on work, and I mean, she doesn't completely, you know, she doesn't just sit around and watch me do everything. You know, she's doing stuff as well. Washing, there's always stuff that needs done, as everyone knows. You know, keeping a house running, especially when there's that many people in the house.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to chip in, and you know, she's an amazing lady, and she works both ends of the candle, and we both just dig in and do what has to be done to sort of get by.
Yeah. Amy, I believe Andrew's devised a job roster for all the kids, and he's on it too.
Yes. Yes, he did that when I was pregnant with Andrew and I's first child, our daughter,
yeah.
To take sort of the pressure off me while I was pregnant, because I wasn't having the best pregnancy. So with three boys almost in teenagehood and Andrew in the house as well, it was quite lively and lots of mess and lots of dishes and lots of things to do at the end of the day. So he decided, let's do a job roster. I think he had one when he was a child, and it worked really well. It's just never left the fridge. It's been up there for years.
So he's a good role model for your boys too.
Yeah, he's an awesome role model for my boys. He's really shown them, you know, what it's like to be what I consider a real man, you know, someone who, you know, doesn't sit on the couch with a beer in his hand and demand, you know, this, that and the other thing. And, you know, he actually plays with them, you know, plays games with them, footy and all that sort of stuff. He'll get in there and, you know, just be their mate, even though he's not their biological father. He doesn't try to be. He just tries to be, you know, a bit of an ally for them and a support for me.
All right. Look, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Andrew. Andrew Hands and Amy Lee as well. She nominated him, so we had to hear from them both. If you've just tuned in today, we're three out of the five into the finalists of the Mentally Sexy Dad competition. This is the competition begun by Clint Gregan, who's a Reservoir Dad blogger. So we've heard from three of them, two more to go in a minute, but I think we'll go back to Clint, because what has been really interesting, Clint, has been the different kinds of family combinations that have emerged just today. What was the range of dads who wrote in?
There was a great diversity of dads from different professions. You know, we had about 15 stay-at-home dads,
mm-hmm.
and we had a lot of full-time and some that were sharing the paid workload with their partners. And and there was also a lot of different ways that the contestants' families were structuring themselves to, you know, for their unique circumstances. So it was a bit of a surprise to me, just the great diversity where, you know, all these different dads were coming from, but they all had the similarities that they would basically do what was best for their family first, and that was the first thing on their mind, and they were working together with their partners to do the best for their family. And, you know, there was no stereotypes limiting what they could do. I just thought it was a really great thing. I mean, basically all the examples of all the dads who entered they're examples of happy families, that they've tried different things and they're working out how to do the best for their family.
And a couple of I think two of the five finalists are blended families. You must have had a fair few of those.
Yeah, we did. Lots of different families.
Yeah, indeed. Well, if I could bring in Damon Young, the writer and philosopher. The other thing that I think is clear, Damon, is the men aren't all... They're not stereotypical new age sensitive blokes, are they?
No, not at all. And I think sometimes that stereotype is, as they often are, used to make people feel better about their own narrowness. So that, you know, if you're someone who refuses to do the housework or refuses to take a lot of time with the kids, it makes sense to stereotype these other guys who do, as sort of cliched Nancy boys who to sort of sit around all day eating tofu and meditating. But in fact, this competition shows how sort of wickedly false that is. On the contrary, these are real men with very broad personalities and diverse interests who simply refuse to let their family diminish because they haven't got the courage to do what it takes.
That's a good way to see it. It shows that real life is much more complex and interesting than we often assume it is.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the family is at the heart of life. It's often the kind of nexus of all the things you find valuable and beautiful and glorious. And I think what this competition has shown is how incredibly subtle and sophisticated the family is and how incredibly strong it can be when we let go of some of our misconceptions. It shows how diverse life is.
Mm. On Life Matters, this is the final of the Mentally Sexy Dad competition with me, Damon Young, writer and philosopher, and Clint Gregan, Reservoir Dad and competition organiser. We have two more finalists to meet. You can find out more about all of them on the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. Then vote for your favourite. We won't be taking calls on favourites, so do it on the web, please. You have a week to vote, and then we'll announce the winners next Thursday. So far, we've met Tim, Jack and Andrew. And our next finalist is Damien Garthwaite. He joins us from Melbourne. Damien and his partner have 2-year-old twin girls, and he also has a 5-year-old daughter from his previous relationship. Welcome to Life Matters, Damien.
Good morning.
You're a stay-at-home dad.
I am.
You must know your children pretty well.
Inside and out, yeah. I started looking after the twins full-time when they were about 8 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 2 years old now. And, yeah, I can tell, based on what they've had for breakfast, what the afternoon's going to be like, or what they've had, you know, how much sleep they've had. I can tell from what their cry is, whether they're upset, whether they're just playing around, or, yeah.
Yes, whether they're 10 minutes out from some kind of yeah. combustion, or only 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can pick a meltdown probably 15 minutes out now.
Right.
Yeah.
Have I got time to go to the toilet? Yes. That kind of thing.
That's exactly it.
I know a few friends of mine have got twins, and I always think those first, I mean, where you still are, actually, those first few years are clearly exhausting.
Yeah.
They do say double the trouble, but double the fun.
It is. I have to say the first year was hard for both of us. When the girls are sort of breastfeeding and bits and pieces like that, it's not a one-person job, it's a two-person job. So I've always been there throughout since they were born. Mel went back to work and I took over. And, it's a lot better now, like watching them play with one another around the house and holding hands, running out into the backyard and stuff. It's fantastic.
How do they go with their big sister?
It is a festival of giggles on the weekends. they have an older sister to look up to and just completely idolise. And she has 2 little ballerinas to join her in her shows that she puts on for us.
Mm. A festival of giggles. I like that.
A festival of giggles, absolutely.
Now, your wife, Mel's the breadwinner. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I have no problems with that. It hasn't sort of been an issue. I think the one thing that I have concentrated on is that it becomes equitable, not because I want to be able to earn the same amount of money. It's just so that we both have the flexibility to work part-time and concentrate on the kids so that, you know, in 5 years' time, I can go to work full-time if she chooses to take some time off work and work part-time. So no, it's. I don't see it as being a permanent thing. And to be honest, if it was a permanent thing, it wouldn't really worry me.
But you're actually somehow finding the time for part-time study.
I am. I am.
You're thinking, I should be doing something now, actually.
Yeah.
What are you studying, Damien?
I'm studying accounting and finance. Right. A master's in accounting and finance. Right. I'm really glad I've done that. I think that it was a smart thing to do because it sort of breaks up the day, not only for me, or breaks up the week, not only for me, but also for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, find time when they're asleep or find time at night or find time first thing in the morning to do my study. I'll get up super early in the morning. And it also, yeah, it just gives me something to concentrate on. Anyone who's a full-time parent, like, there's long periods where it's sort of repetitious, like it's a very simple routine that goes on through the house, and this is something that can add to that to keep me, you know, thinking on other things.
How are you going with connecting with other parents, especially dads like you?
Yeah, we're all too busy. There's a couple of other dads in the mother's group, if that's the right name. One who shares part-time. They're both, he and his partner both work part-time.
Yeah.
And we catch up when we can, but we're both busy, but we still catch up every now and again. And there's another dad who's a full-time dad as well, and same thing, we'll sort of catch up for father's group or mother's group things.
How's the mother's group thing work? Because I reckon I'd feel pretty self-conscious at mother's group.
I guess a little of the isolation can come from with the mother's group. Some of the mums will catch up, we catch up once a week, and some of the mums will catch up either side of that, and it's a little uncomfortable for me to rock over to one of the other mum's house for a morning while, you know, they're breastfeeding and the normal things going on around the house. It's just like a slightly different, that's a difference. That's a big difference in being a guy, I guess. The mums have no problems with that.
No. Well, it sounds like you're making it work. Thanks very much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Damien Garthwaite, and he's in Melbourne, and he's got 3 kids, 5-year-old from a previous relationship, and he's got 2-year-old twin girls, and he doesn't sound completely exhausted, which I think is some kind of miracle. With me also is Clint Gregan. He's the Reservoir Dad, the man who came up with the idea and organised this competition of the Mentally Sexy Dad competition. You're also a stay-at-home dad, Clint. How did that work out for you and your partner?
It's working out really well. My wife, I mean, I've said this before, but for us it was a pretty easy decision because I'd only ever really worked for money, whereas my wife had been, you know, building up had specific career goals. And so when we decided we didn't want to put our kids in, you know, full-time childcare, it was a really easy decision to make for me to stay home and for my wife to keep working.
Yeah. And Damon Young, you and your partner both work part-time, so you both parent part-time as well.
Yes, that's right. It's a kind of continual daily juggle of household chores and children and work. And it has been marvellous, I have to say. It is an ongoing battle to prioritise what's important, whether it's time or money or neatness.
Neatness is not important. Cleanliness is important, but neatness is not important.
I beg to differ. I think sometimes you can't underestimate the mental clarity that comes with a good tidy-up, but we can debate that later. But, yes, the juggle has been incredibly rewarding, and I would not do it any other way.
All right. Well, let's go now to Karratha in the Pilbara in WA to meet Jason Smith. He's our last finalist. Hi, Jason.
G'day. How are you?
Good. Now, you work in the mining industry. Long days, hard work. What do you do when you get home?
Mate, when I get home, I take my daughter off of my wife to give her a break because she's been dealing with her all day, and pretty much look after her, bath her, and just sort of look after her until she goes to bed, and then get dinner ready, cook dinner up, and then do the dishes. And that's everything I have to do before I get to sit down on the couch and put my feet up, sort of thing. So.
Crikey. And every Friday night, I understand, this is when other blokes are, watching the footy and having a beer. You're cleaning the house.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's quite fun. Usually with my daughter on my hip as well, so I get to sort of push the vacuum and carry my daughter as well. And right.
How old is she?
She's 10 months now.
Right.
Yeah.
So why do you clean the house on a Friday night?
Because that way it's clean for both of us to enjoy for the weekend, and that way there's sort of less chores for us to do over the weekend, so we can just get out as a family unit and do family things and enjoy each other's time.
I connect with that. I'm probably not one for huge amounts of cleaning the house, but I try and do the shopping in the week so that we don't have to do it in the weekend. Now, how do you make the most of your time with your daughter? Because you are working long hours and keeping the house going.
Yeah, basically I just do as much as I can with her. So, you know, on the weekends in the morning I'll wake up early so my wife can have a sleep in, and because a sleep in for me is 8 o'clock, which is when my daughter wakes up, so that's good for me, and I'll get up and take her walking and take her down the park and stuff like that and go for a walk around the shops, you know, lay on the carpet and let her chew my ears off and stuff, so just generally hanging out with her and just having a laugh with her and making her awake time as happy as it can be for her.
It's Actually, it's full on when they're under a year old, but it's also a time that is really brief and you never get it back. So it's worth seeing from that perspective, I reckon.
Yeah, it's an absolutely crazy time, but I'm thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it. I was only saying to my wife last night that I'm really enjoying where my daughter's at the moment. She's just a barrel of laughs. So
yeah. How do you work in partnership with your wife?
You know, we do try and do as much as we can together. My wife, Mel, she's aware that I obviously need time for myself as well, so she lets me sort of have a sleep in on a Sunday, and she'll get up and look after Summer, and, you know, we work together like that, and I'll let her have sleep-ins, and where we can, we do as much as we can together around the house to get jobs done quicker. Yeah.
Are you very close, the two of you?
Oh, extremely, yeah, extremely close.
Do you reckon you're an unusual dad in Karratha?
I think so, yeah. Being in the mining industry, it's, you know, big, burly, hairy blokes covered in tattoos that just want to go work hard and then drink booze on the weekends and let the wives do all the work. You know, they expect to go home and have a meal on the table and a cold beer given to them as they sort of put their feet up on the couch. So I think I'm a little bit different. I mean, I'm not saying that there's no other blokes like me in the Pilbara, but it's sort of, I don't think it's the norm up here, that's for sure, from what I've seen.
How does it, I mean, do you talk to other blokes about your approach?
I don't really talk to other blokes about it. I've had a few sort of blokes that have come along and sort of said that I'm nuts and I should be sort of, you know, I'm doing everything wrong because I'm the one that's out working every day earning the money, so I should be looked after when I get home.
Perhaps they're anxious that their partners don't find out about what you're doing.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. But, yeah, I don't really, haven't really discussed it. I've had people sort of mention it to me, but that's just how I do things, and if it's different to other people, then so be it. But
well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problems.
Good luck in the competition.
Cheers, thanks very much.
That's Jason Smith, who we got in Karratha in the Pilbara. He's in the mining industry, and, well, I think he was being modest about how unusual he is in a place like that, where he was saying most other blokes, it's just not like that. They work physically hard, they're physically tired, and they expect to be looked after. And you know, that used to be the way of it for everybody. But not anymore, and people like Jason are clearly pushing back against things. We are coming towards the end of this part of the show, which is the Mentally Sexy Dad finalists. We've now heard from all five of them. I want to talk to Clint Gregan and the man behind the competition, and Damon Young, the philosopher. Clint, as we've heard, all these men, they're all really different. What do they seem to have in common, do you think?
I think it's clear that they're all very family-focused, and they've got an ability to really empathise with their partners. They're not so close-minded like the people that Jason was mentioning, that there's strict ways to behave or to be as a man.
Yeah.
And so it comes down to what's best for their family. And you heard from Jason then as well. He's getting a lot out of it with his daughter. So
yeah. That's
something that these blokes maybe don't know what they're missing out on. And maybe like Jack's grandfather one day will look back on and say, you know, maybe I missed out on something there, and maybe Jason had, you know, a better idea of how to go about things.
I'm struck by how positive they all are, about how positive they are about their lives, whatever their lives are, and their lives are all different. They're all doing their best to love that life.
Yeah. And, you know, is that, maybe that's something about these men, or maybe it's something about the way that their lives are being structured. I mean, it's probably going to be easier for them and their partners that they're both chipping in and helping out each other out. I mean, what do you say to your partner if you come home and you say that she's been putting in a full day as well, and I'm going to help out a little bit and participate together in chores and looking after the children? You're valuing your partner, her contribution to the family and just who she is. And I think I'm going to feel much happier if I've got that sort of acknowledgement from my partner, rather than, you know, if he comes home and thinks he's done the hard work and now he needs to be rewarded.
Damon Young, these blokes seem to be having fun. It's not drudgery. We've had the festival of giggles, which may be the phrase of the morning. All five have talked about enjoying what they do.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And this demonstrates something really profoundly important. Partly I think that is pride, that pride in your broadness rather than your narrowness, but also learning to love new things. So rather than just being identified with these traditional masculine pursuits, this is what I enjoy, this is what I love, I drink this kind of beer, I eat this kind of steak, and when, on the weekends I drill with this kind of power tool, it is learning that you can love and enjoy and be rewarded by different things. And sometimes we call these pursuits feminine, but that's nonsense. They're not. They're just part of being a good man.
Mm, they're just part of being human. Thanks, Damon. It's always insightful having you on the show. That's
my pleasure.
Damon Young, he's a writer and philosopher based in Melbourne and doing everything part-time to spend time with the kids and share the load with his partner. And Clint Gregan, we'll be announcing the winners next Thursday on Life Matters. There will be more than one, won't there?
Yeah, there will. So we've got the top five now. The judges are going to have another look at the top five entries and they're going to rescore them, maybe compare them against each other and allow for prejudice and everything to come in to get involved. And so we'll basically have a ranking of the top five, and from that we'll get the winner of Australia's Most Mentally Sexy Dad. So one of the top five will be announced the winner next week. And then we've got the Life Matters Award, the Listener's Choice Award, which you can vote online for.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well as that, we've had another sort of sub-fun competition running on the Reservoir Dad website where you can vote. There's star votes underneath each entry and you can click on them. And
That's a kind of People's Choice Award, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called the People's Choice Award, yeah. And that's anyone of the 55 dads who are up there can still win it, although the voting's only open for another day.
Right. Get weaving if you want to take part in that one.
Yeah, so basically it's a fun thing that allowed families and friends to get involved, and there'll be two winners, one for the most votes and one for the highest average out of five, and they both get a ReservoirDad.com engraved iPod shuffle.
Well, hey, these are prices worth having. There is the meat tray idea floating around
as well.
The meat
tray is actually half a side of beef, so it's a little bit bigger than a meat tray.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks for coming on, Clint, and I look forward to... I'm having a break next week, but I will be tuning in to hear the results.
No worries. Thanks for your support for the competition too, Richard, and Life Matters and Radio National. It's been awesome.
Great. You will hear it here first next Thursday, and you can vote now by going to the Life Matters website, abc.net.au/rn/Life Matters. And special thanks actually to producer Crystal George for all her work on this Mentally Sexy Dad special. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Richard Ady. Coming up next, America's Worst Mom joins me in the studio.